إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق حديث كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة برعة، وكل برعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، as you know brothers, this da'wah to Salafiyya, as much as it is a da'wah to Tawheed, excuse my voice, a da'wah to Tawheed, the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to ittibah, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is also a da'wah to tazkiyah, the purification of the hearts and the souls. This da'wah is based upon the two pillars, a tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. Tasfiyah, cleansing ourselves from everything that is connected, that has been connected to Islam, that Islam is free from. And tarbiyah, raising ourselves up on the correct Islam. Part of this matter of tazkiyah and matter of tarbiyah is the matter of akhlaq, the matter of our morals and manners and behavior. And just as we are to be salafi in our aqidah, and salafi in our ibadah, our worship, make sure there's no bid'ah or shirk in our aqidah, and make sure there's no bid'ah or wrong action regarding our ibadah, our akhlaq also should be the akhlaq or the morals and manners and behavior of the Salaf Saleh. If we are deficient in this area, then we are not in reality being like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So there is this matter that there are certain characteristics that a Muslim must have, and he must program himself, work with himself, deal with himself, struggle with himself to make sure that he take up on or inculcate those qualities. There's a matter of shuja'a, being courageous. There's a matter of hilm, being forbearing. There's a matter of sabr, being patient. There's a matter of hikmah, being wise. There's a matter of adl, being just. There's a matter of rahmah, being merciful. There's a matter of rifq, being gentle. These are all matters and qualities and much, much more that have been indicated in the Qur'an and in the authentic sunnah and from narrations or athar from the Salaf. And these are things that we need to inculcate in our lives, and so that we can actualize the minhaj al-salafi in our lives and actually be that which we claim to be upon their way. They were known by these matters. The ayat dealing with akhlaq was as, and morals and manners was as important to them as the ayat dealing with the tawheed of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the jannah and the nar, and the qadr, the decree, and the ayat dealing with the angels, and the ayat dealing with things that happened in the past, to the nations of the past, and all of those ayat, and the ayat of salat, the verses dealing with salat, and zakat, the verses dealing with fasting and whatever, those were all important, but also ayat dealing with the morals and manners and behavior were important to them. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba." There Allah orders that you be just and that you have ihsan. Ihsan is that you do that which is best and that which is most right, and that which is correct. وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and that you give to those who are nearest. أخرج بخاري, Imam Bukhari رحمه الله has a book called Adab al-Mufrad, and it's a monumental work which has been explained by many scholars. There's some texts available of with Sheikh Nasser رحمه الله explaining this great work. He has brought narrations regarding this. Actually, this narration says, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, ما في القرآن أجمع حلال والحرام وأمر ونحي من هذه الآية. There's nothing in the Quran that contains gathers as well the matters of halal and haram and ordering and forbidding than this ayah. And he recited the ayah. Sa'adi, who we took something from yesterday, Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, rahimullah, the Sheikh of the Allama of Qasim, the Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullah, says in his tafsir, Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman, al-Adl, justice, whom afard Allah alayhim fi kitabih, wa ala lisani rasulih, wa amrahim bi sulukih, intaha. That justice, how is it defined? Justice is defined how Allah Tabarakallah, Allah made obligatory in His book and upon the tongues of the messenger, and He ordered us that we stick to that behavior or that we act in that manner. That this is how we react with one another. Allah Tabarakallah hates dhulm, injustice. And dhulm, the injustice, turns into darknesses on the day of judgment. Adhulm, dhulumat, yawm al-qiyamah. So those actions and things that we do that are unjust, it is darkness. There will be darknesses on the day of judgment. Dhulumat. And as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah says, Allah Ta'ala has set up the heavens and the earth and everything upon the fact of justice. And as Hadith Qudsi relates, Allah Ta'ala says, O my servants, I have forbidden injustice from myself. Allah does not do any dhulm. Understand this fact and this qaida, this principle here, and we were using that term qaida before anybody else mentioned it. We were always using this term, principle. Those who have studied this matter understand that. That this is a principle that will help you in matters of qadr, help you in matters of many areas of deen, if it's understood that Allah does not do anyone wrong. He does not does anyone any injustice. It's impossible. So he says he forbids it upon himself, and he has made it between the servants forbidden. He has made a haram amongst the servants. He forbidden himself, and he has all power, all control, and he is not asked for what he does, but we are asked for what we do, and yet he has forbidden upon himself because of his perfect qualities. His wisdom, his him being just. So he has forbidden dhulm upon himself, and he has made it forbidden between his servants. And this dhulm, this injustice that is done, will be judged to such a degree on the day of judgment that even the two animals, one having horns and one not having horns, or two horned animals fighting, Allah Ta'ala would judge between them as to why they had a dispute. No one will be done any injustice. The heavens, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, the heavens and the earth is established upon adl, upon justice. So this is a quality that we need to start to have. Are we just? Do we prefer others over some? For some reason other than the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Do we prefer others over some? For some reason, other than their iman, other than their taqwa, then we're not just. We're not being on justice. He who does take a path other than the path of justice, he is one who is following his shahawat of himself and his desires. He is following his desires. Allah says, فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْحَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا. Don't allow your desires, your following your desires, prevent you from being just. Don't allow the following of your desires prevent you from being just. Alayhi salatu wa rahmatullah. Meaning, don't allow your following your desires make you in conflict with the truth. Because if you follow your desires, you would have went away from that which is correct. Because desires blind the person. The one who's following his ahwa, he is blind. He has no basira, no clarity, no sight, no perception. He's blind. And he's blinded to such extent that he begins to see the truth as false and the falsehood as the truth. This is because he's following his desires. If he had known the truth in reality, he would not have left it for his desires. So he who is safe from his desires, then he is someone who has been guided to the straight path. And Abu Abdurrahman, Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi, rahimahullah, rahmatul wasi'ah, used to say this hadith often, that the Prophet ﷺ said, for every ummah there is a fitna, and the fitna of my ummah is mal, money, wealth. The fitna of my ummah is wealth. So, and the love of wealth and desires, wealth is one of those desires to stop you from being just. فَالْعَبْدُ, the servant, if he has adl, justice, and ihsan, meaning that when he does something, he does it the best way, in the most correct way. If he has this, and he doesn't leave it, and he does that which Allah Ta'ala has ordered him to do, then he has been guided in this matter. And for the servant to see these issues as wajib, just like we see salat as wajib, and we know we got to make it 5 times a day, to be just as wajib. To be just and do with ihsan is wajib. Now there are qualities that every Muslim must have. And these qualities, each of us know whether he has it or not. Some of us know if we're quick-tempered. Some of us know if I don't have patience. It's something I got to work on. Some of us know whether or not he can't stop his tongue from lying. That he is a very hard matter for him to be truthful all the time. And kadhib is very, lying is very evil. To the degree where the Prophet ﷺ was asked about the believer, can he be a coward, can he be this? He said, yes, he can he be a liar? He said, no. And his iman will stop him from lying. So if a person has this characteristic of lying, this is something that they must leave. Some of us might be greedy and miserly and selfish. We have nothing of generosity within us. We have not learned about the hospitality of the Muslim that he shows, that the Muslim world is known and has been known for centuries about their hospitality. Yet we don't practice that. We won't give anybody anything or do anything with anybody that shows that type of matter. This is something that shows that we're not understanding Salafiyya in a way that is shamil, that's comprehensive, that includes everything. It says aqidah and minhaj and jarh wa ta'deel and going against Ahlul Bidahs over here, and Ahsan al-Akhlaq, being and having mercy, and being respectful to your elders, and showing mercy to the youth, and watching what you say, and being just, is somewhere else. And it's gotten to a point where, good example, Bismillah, if you give a lecture like this, brothers start to doubt your Salafiyya. Can you imagine that? I was in one area and I gave a lecture on as-samahatu, you know, the ability to forgive your brothers, be gentle, be easy, and so on and so forth. Someone came to me and said, after the whole thing was over, why are you coming with all this about gentleness and love and brotherhood and all that? You know? I said, this is what Ahlul Bidah use. I said, Akhi, hadha min deenina. This is from our deen. So someone agrees with us in the haq or uses the haq for a wrong reason, that means we're supposed to leave this. This is not supposed to be all our deen is now. It's talking about bid'ah and talking about jarh wa ta'dil, which has its place. No one's denying it. But that's it. You can be a liar. Kadhib. You can make kadhib. You can be somebody who commits ghibah. You can be somebody who commits namimah. You can be somebody who mistreats individuals. You can be somebody who mistreats your family in your house. You can be from the malaika outside and shaitan in your house. And you know, you're Salafi and everything outside. Because as long as you got this book, this hatred for Ahlul Bidah, it allows you to forget the rest of the Sharia and the rest of the deen and the rest of the characteristics and manners and morals that a Salafi is supposed to have.
That's insane.
And we find that when this type of thing comes into the atmosphere, where one has taken one particular portion of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preferred it to over other portions, that it creates ikhtilafat, differences and splitting and hatred. That every time you have a dispute with your brother, immediately he has a minhaj problem.
He don't have a problem with the minhaj. The minhaj is kitab and sunnah, way to salaf salih. He has a problem with you.
But then problems of shakhsiyya, or shakhsi problems, personality problems, people problems, problems that you didn't, you know, you didn't say, you didn't greet me with a nice greeting, starts to be a minhaj problem. We have to be aware of this matter, and we have to avoid these type of issues, and the only way we are going to do it is by beautifying ourselves with the morals and manners of the Prophet and the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم أخلاقا عليه الصلاة والسلام. The most perfect of the believers in their iman, the most complete of the believers in their iman, are the best, those who have the best morals and behavior. المطوعون المطوعون أكنافا, which means that they cover the faults of one another. يَحْفِثْ وَيَسْتُرْ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. They cover and protect one another. المؤمنين والمؤمنات أولياء بعض, right? The مؤمنين and مؤمنات, the believing men and believing women, are guardians of one another, protectors of one another, covering the faults of one another, not exposing one another. That's not the quality of the believers. So he said, the Prophet ﷺ says, the best of the most perfect of belief of the in belief of the believers is the one who has the best morals, the one who guards and covers his brother. They each guard and cover their other brother. The brother, one covers the other, one is guarding the other, one is protecting the other. الَّذِينَ يَعْلَفُونَ وَيُعْلَفُونَ. Those who love to gather with people and have people gather with them. They are open. And the people are open. They bring people to them, and people are gathered with them. Ta'alif, bringing their hearts together. Bringing their hearts together, which means to bring also the leads to the physical being, the physical people being together. Because I don't know where you can, in fact, unless someone lives a very, very far distance, usually when the hearts come together, it brings a physical togetherness. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَعْلَفُ وَلَا يُعْلَفُ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ. And there's no good, لا خير, no good in one who cannot bring the people to gather with him and he does not gather with them, cannot bring the house together. You might have a better word for it. يَا أَلَفُ. Bring harmony. You bring harmony. Jazakallah khair. And the one who harmonizes with the people, to use Abu Muhammad's translation, harmonizes. La khair. No good in the one who doesn't do this. Sheikh Nasir Deen Al-Bani, rahimahullah, rahimahullah, wasiya, mentioned in his sahiha that this hadith was authentic. He brought another one, saying basically the same words, that, but saying that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَحَبَّكُمْ إِلَيَّ. He who wants the love of the Messenger alayhi wa sallam. Verily the most beloved of you to me, for the believers, verily the most beloved of you to me, أَحْسَنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. The one of you who has the best moral manners and behavior. Like I said, المطيعون أكنافا, يعني those who cover one another's faults, protect one another, guide one another. الذين, like we said, who harmonize with others and want others to harmonize with them, or gather with others, want others to gather with them. Then he says, وَإِنَّ أَبْغَدَكُمْ إِلَيَّ, those who most hate it to me, المشاعون بالنميمة, those who run around with slander, المفرقون بين أحبة, those who separate between those who love one another. The people upon love
Here comes this individual, and through what he said, the sihr of his tongue, the sorcery of his tongue, he separated between them.
What it says? Those who are harsh.
And there are other narrations which indicate that the Prophet ﷺ said, this hadith is Hassan,
should I not inform you as to who the hellfire is forbidden? Ala kull hayyin layyin qareeb sahl. Hellfire is forbidden upon everyone who's easy, who's gentle, who's close, and who's kind. This is the type of individual who the hellfire is forbidden for. This kind of individual that the hellfire is forbidden. He brings it again. Hurimat an-nar. Hellfire has been made forbidden. Ala hayyin al-layyin as-sahl al-qareeb. Yani upon the one who's light, who's gentle, who's easy with the people, who's close to them. The hellfire will be forbidden from this person. This person will not go to the hellfire. The hellfire is forbidden. This is something great, na'zeen, that we don't think about. A lot of times we want to appear to have the sadara, to be out front. Or we want to appear to have in every situation the ghalaba, that we have to be the ones who are dominant. But this is in opposition to what has come in the sunnah. It's not the one who's the loudest and the one who's the roughest and the one who's the toughest. As the Prophet said, the strong one or courageous one is not the one who can wrestle well, but the one who can control his temper when he's angry. Control his temper when he's angry. And we don't reflect on none of that. That is part of the deen that's almost forgotten. I don't have to, I can get angry on, I can say what I, who's going to stop me, As if we're not limited by the legislation. As if there's no guidance from the Prophet in this matter. And we're suffering. The most important thing we have after Tawheed and Sunnah and the matters of deen is the Akhuwa, the Islamic brotherhood or Islamic sisterhood. This is the most important thing we have. The greatest asset we have, our greatest capital, is suffering because we don't want to be, we don't want to go down that long road of correcting ourselves and having proper Islamic manner. It's easy to memorize a hadith, like a salam or ayah, recited three or four times. Acting upon that is another matter. And akhlaq is something that you can't run away from. You have to, you are what you are. And a man is what maghuliba alayh. He is what is most prominent upon him. The one who always tells the truth. Always tells the truth. Wa nadiran, very rarely lies. He's called truthful. The one who always tells a lie. Always tells a lie. And very rarely tells the truth. He's called a liar. Like what the Prophet said about Iblis. Sadaqa wa huwa kadhub. He told the truth, but he's a liar. Because he always lies. And in that rare occasion, he told the truth. The one who has patience with the people. And very rarely they get upset and lose control. Is sad, patient. Someone who can take hamal al-adha, take the harms of the people. Someone who's all upset all the time, hollering, shouting, turning over tables. And then rarely he has some patience. This is a guy out of control. And most of us are out of control. We don't watch our tongue. We don't watch our behavior. We don't watch what we're placing in our foot. Figuratively, we don't watch that. What we're doing and the results of it. Forget thinking about the akhirah. We never think about the results of our actions until something explodes and leads to destruction that we're unable to correct. Then it's like, oh man, when we have been sent the Prophet of guidance, not a guide just in one or two or three issues,
are guided in everything. لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Verily in the midst of Allah, you have a good example in everything. How to be the proper teacher, how to be the proper husband, how to be the proper brother, how to be the proper uncle, how to be the proper grandfather, how to be the proper businessman, how to be this, how to be proper da'i, how to correct the munkar, how to deal with this, how to deal with that. The Prophet ﷺ left us up on clarity. But we don't follow none of it. Or very few of us follow any of it. To such a degree that Sheikh Nasir, rahimahullah, rahmatullah, said, used to complain about the fact of tarbiyah. And some people have mistaken his word out of context. But it, understand his word, it has its place. This is from Imam of this Ummah. From an Imam of this Ummah, that we've concentrated on the tazkiyah aspect. Brother, don't do that, that's bitter. Brother, I hear this, everybody starts to ask now, where's that, man? Is that hadith sahih? Used to be a time wasn't like that. You could say anything you want and connect it to the Prophet. I don't really care. But with tarbiyah and with tazkiyah, understanding the importance of not lying on the Prophet, not ascribing to the deen that which is not correct. Now, this is a hadith sahih. So this is tasfiyah. But we haven't looked or paid enough attention to tarbiyah. And he himself, Sheikh Nasir, rahimahullah, even though he is one of the greatest nourishers and educators of his ummah, thought he was below that. Saying, I hope that Allah will bring amongst his ummah someone who will establish the tarbiyah and guide the people to the matters of tawbiyah. Someone said, you did that, Sheikh. He said, no, I'm saying, I hope that Allah Ta'ala bring someone who would do that. This is what is needed to have the right morals and manners, behaviors, to understand the importance of the qualities that we must have so that if we act upon them, we can maintain our brotherhood. Because the brotherhood is being lost. The brotherhood is not there. Where is the akhuwa of the level that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had? Of the level of the tabi'in? Of the level of any of the level of the ahlul ilm that have lived in our time? Don't have that. So these are qualities that must be there. There's a hadith also. Of course, it's an old, he brings an old proverb here that says, let your face always be bright and smiling. And let your words be layyina, be gentle. Takuna habba ila nas. You'll be more beloved to the people from those who give them wealth. I mean, from the, more beloved to the people than those who give them something. By smiling in the face of the person. Meet somebody one day. First day, he might not like you. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi. Then you got a big smile on your face. Second day, third day. Fourth day, his heart opens up to you. This is something known throughout the earth. Something witnessed to by Kafir, Muslim and Kafir. Something witnessed to by every race on the earth. Good character. Good manner. To the degree that it is stated in, that the Sahaba, radhiyallahu anhu, and many other of the Salaf, they used to go places and not give officially what you would call da'wah on their tongues. But the people would see their interaction with one another. Many of them were, like Malaysia and these places, entered Islam through the fact of a companion or the tabi'i or tabi'i, you know, others being tujar, being merchants. But in them trading and selling and buying, they didn't cheat. In their selling and buying, they didn't swear by a lie to make the product go. In their selling and buying, they didn't hide a fault that was present in the product. They were just. They were upright. They were, you know, they, in that way, people came to Islam. People came to Islam. They used to see them and say, these people are more like the disciples of Isa alayhi salam than anyone else I've seen. Because of their behavior. Because of their manners. Where is that in Salafiyya? Where is that in Salafiyya? Where do we see that? Where do we see those who brothers say, go to those brothers they're those who are very truthful. Those brothers are those brothers, they have amana, they can be trusted. Those brothers keep their contract. Those brothers keep their word. You can depend upon their word. If they say something, they're going to do it. We don't hear that type of much, that type of thing out, that type of praise for anybody. No, we use excuses like, if we say, 6:30, everybody be here. Color people time. Are we going to stick to Kitab and Sunnah and raise ourselves by the grace of Allah, uplift ourselves to be able to be men, true men, rijal? Where's the rujula? Where's the manhood if we can't make ourselves act upon that which we say that we believe in? While we're making a mockery of ourselves, is that if we throw on our thobes and they're above our ankles, and that's sunnah, and that's good, and that's honorable, and we have our lihyas, and that's wajib, and that's good, and that's honorable, but our akhlaq and what we do behind our doors and how we treat others is such that we wind up in the hellfire, will we make a mockery of ourselves? The hearts are very serious. And the keeping the hearts pure, keeping them clean, and making sure they're upright and straight is a very important issue. Something that each of us has to look into every day. We are in an imtihan. This life that we're living is a major examination, and you only get one chance. You have to do it right now, because it's no later. It's an examination to the point that the Imam Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, says, you are in a jihad, a struggle. You are in a jihad from your scene of taqlid, from the time where you become somebody who's morally responsible in Islam to complete your duties or to fulfill your duties, to the time that you go to the qabr, to the grave. Anta fi jihad. You're in a struggle against yourself, against shaitan, you're in a struggle, you're in a battle. Any way along the line, you can be misled. Any way along the line, you can follow your desires and go astray. Any way along the line, you can commit some dhulm to yourself or to others. So it has to be with asking Allah tabarakallah for tawfiq, for the help and for support, and at the same time striving. Some of us don't even make the effort. Say, well, this is just how I am. This is just how I am. You mean that you were upon kufr, upon dalala. You were doing horrible things. You are an animal in darkness. And Allah brought you to Islam. You changed enough to take shahada, make a wudu, and let tawheed into your heart. But now that you're in Islam, you can't change no more. There's no further growth. There's no further development. We are not supposed to be on the same level of Islam every year that we are on to the previous year. We've been advised that iman becomes old or becomes worn out like a worn out thobe. So revive your iman. If Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, I find that I have to revive my iman, Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has to say this, that I have to revive my iman, have to renew myself. Then what about us? In the land of the kuffar. In the land of the kuffar. These are serious issues. Serious issues. Someone who calls to akhlaq, let him call to akhlaq. There's so many ayat and ahadith about that. To the degree that the Prophet ﷺ said it is part of his risala. And he used innama. as if this was the only part of his message. Bu'ithu liyatimmu, I've been sent to complete maharam akhlaq, to complete the people's morals. It's the word innama is hasr. It's as if this is the only thing I was sent for. That the people's lying, to teach them to be truthful. That the people's unjust, to teach them to be just. That the people unrighteous, to teach them to be righteous. That the people hard, to teach them to be kind. Like this is the only thing I've been sent for. But we know that akhlaq enters into a tawheed. Your behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the ayah says, verily you are upon khuluqan adeem. Some tafsir say tawheed. So that's part of it. All of it's connected. It's all of it. The Prophet said that Islam or Iman, that is 70 something, Iman is 70 something branches. We want to take two or three of them and forget the rest. Two or three matters we want to focus on. And we forget the rest. So it's important that we understand. And another matter that we should understand is that you've heard it probably hundreds of times. The statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that Ahlul Sunnah are A'lam al-Nas bil-Haq, the most knowledgeable people regarding the truth, and Arham al-Nas bil-Khalq, the most merciful regarding creation. Judge yourself by that. Ahlul Sunnah are A'lam al-Nas bil-Haq. They know the truth, and they have the most knowledge regarding the truth. وَأَرْحَمِ النَّاسِ بِخَلْقِ, and they're the most merciful to the creatures. You won't find mercy like you find with Ahlul Sunnah. Because they learned from Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be merciful. They learned from Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be generous to such a degree that their Bedouin came and the Prophet Islam gave them so much. Gave him so many animals that he took back, that he said, oh people, come here Muhammad, alayhi salam. Come see Muhammad, alayhi salam. For he gives a giving as of someone who doesn't fear any loss. Generosity. Where's our generosity at? Generosity. Giving for the sake of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, liwajhi Allah. For the face of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. Where is that? Is this not part of Salafiyyah? Is this not part of Salafiyyah? Or is Salafiyyah just Jahwa Ta'adeen? Even the one who carries the banner of Jahwa Ta'adeen, Sheikh Rabi, what does he, Hafidhullah, concentrate more on anything else? He always talks about sidq. And Adam al-Kadab, not lying. He's wrote recital on not lying. He's wrote recital on sit, truthfulness. He's explained that the narration of Ka'b and Malik and those who stayed back in the benefits of the one who makes Tawbah if he falls into that which is wrong. And the fact that Ka'b and them stuck to the truth, even though it was harmful, they thought physically to them, they stuck to the truth. Everybody else who didn't go out in the battle came making excuses and lies. Ka'b told the truth. He even said, because the Qurayshi, they were given Jadin. They had the ability, what we call the gift of gab. The gift of gab. They got to argue. Ka'b said, you know, Rasulullah, if I was before anyone else, I know how to get out of this. I say a few words and no problem. He can say a few words that can make his sin look like it was something correct to do. Have you thinking you was wrong for even accusing him? Because of the gift of gab. But he said he would not do that with the Messenger of Allah. Salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. Because he says, I know that if I lie to you now, and even if it pleases you now, Allah will inform you later and you'll be angry at me later. So he stuck to sidq, to truthfulness, even though it led to the Muslims not speaking to him for 50 days. He didn't know what was going to be the result what was going to be the physical result, what was going to happen immediately. He knew that the aqibah lil muttaqin, the end is for the believers, but the physical thing that was going to happen to him, the problems that were going to occur, the anger of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards him or the Sahaba, if he lied, he stuck to the truth. And he was successful. He was successful. Sheikh Rabi talks about this all the time. Talks about the importance of not lying. Talks about the importance of not lying. How many times have you gotten to see how no kadhab? Don't lie, brothers. Don't lie. Because what is happening when we lie, we are destroying ourselves and others. If we really want our brothers to benefit, if we feel that he's on a mistake or he has a problem, then we tell the truth, we relay the truth to the doctors and they prescribe the proper medicine. But if we lie, we would damage him and we would damage their reputation and we would damage our own. All shar, all evil will come from it. All evil will come from it. The kadhib. And in this time of Jahra Ta'dib, and talking about who's on it and who ain't on it, and who's Salafi and who's Hizbi, and who's Sururi, and who's Kadha and Kadha, this whole knowledge of Jahra Ta'dib was based upon Adana, was based upon the trustworthiness and the qualities of the individuals that it rested upon. They were men who did not lie. Men who did not cheat. Men who did not take the rights of others and forget them. Some of these akhlaq were already previously there in the time of Jahiliyyah amongst the Arabs. You know when Abu Sufyan went before Harakil, if that's the way he pronounced his name, I don't care. And he went before this mushrik and he said, if I didn't fear that they would say that I was a liar, I would have lied. He's a kafir, but he doesn't want to lie. And you again, you remember the hadith of Mughira, Ibn Shawbah, the Hudaybiyah and all of that. Abu Bakr told him to go suck something. Hadith is in Bukhari. Because he had insulted them, saying that these are men that will run away from you, O Muhammad. So Abu Bakr Sadiq said, go suck something. Told him to suck something. So he said, who's that? He says, Abu Bakr Sadiq. He said, if it wasn't for the fact that you did something for me in Jahiliyyah, and you have a yad upon me, a hand they will call it, a hand upon me. And you did something for me, so I can't forget that. I have to be, respectful and appreciate that. They wouldn't forget a ma'aruf. They wouldn't forget a good. We forget good. A good that a brother might have taught us. He might have sat with us with tawheed when nobody on the face of earth sat with us before him. He might have taught us how to make wudu. And we tear him down and we destroy him. We forget a ma'aruf. But here's the Arab from the Jahiliyyah. He didn't forget a ma'aruf. He told Abu Bakr, if it wasn't for you, for the fact that you did something for me, a favor for me, back in the day, that I got to appreciate, that's why I'm holding myself, I remember that. We forget it. And we deny it. We act like we claim that no one ever did any good for us. That we never benefited from them. And we're quick to destroy one another. And expose one another. When Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah wanted to deal with Abdurrahman Dukhalik, I remember. I was there in the early 80s. He gave him years of nasiha, years of advice. He even wrote a taqdeem, an introduction to have him write an introduction to Abdurrahman Dukhalik, write an introduction to his book, Minhaj Sunnah Nabawiyyah. This was a period of time before he had to write his Urdu. He had to write Because the haq فوق الجميع. The truth is over everyone. But the manas, they discussed the nasiha, what's going on behind closed doors. The nasiha, brothers, what's going on in cities that we don't know about. You know, some kahwa with Sheikh Rabi and say, hey, brother, you got to do this, you got to straighten that out, you know. Nasiha, rasail were being written. Advices was being given. We don't do none of that. But many of us don't do none of that. It's destruction from the get-go. Destruction is the goal and nothing else. Watch out. Woe to anybody in my path. I'm out for destruction. You got to realize that this type exists. Don't close your eyes. For things is what shows good character. You can claim all day long, I'm on a kitab and sunnah and a minhaj as-salaf as-salih until ja'al waqt al-imtihan, and the time of examination comes. The time of examination is when you have to have patience and you don't have patience. When you have to have forbearance and then you find that you're not having forbearance. When you have to watch your tongue and you're not watching your tongue. We are reading the nusus, text from Quran and Sunnah, and I don't think we understand their full import. Like the one about the Amir al-Mu'mineen, or the ruler, if he's unjust, hear and obey him. As long as he doesn't order you to do that which is haram. وَإِنْ دَرَبَ دَهْرِكَ. And if he beats your back, وَأَخَذَ مَالِكَ. And takes your wealth. How many of us are ready to do that? How many of us will stay on Salafia if that happens? If they bring you, place you in some chains, pull that shirt from your back, get the whipping on you. All that Salafia gone now, huh? It's a reality. It's an examination. It's not a matter of claims. Anyone can claim anything. If people were left to their claims, what would they have claimed? That's probably what I'm saying. Everything. Claim is easy. Sheikh Nasser used to say the piece of poetry, which is the claims that don't have on them any evidence. Anybody, the action that you do, it gives birth to just more claims. Anybody can claim. But when it's time, it's shown when it's time to happen. And we can't do it on the local level, in a masjid, among 5 or 10 or 15, 20 brothers. We can't do it on a local level. We can't practice brotherhood and patience and mercy and love and leniency and all of that on a local level, but we want to do it with Indonesia, Malaysia, the Muslims of Morocco, the Muslims in China. Let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. Do it here, in the house of Allah, in Roanoke, Virginia. Do it here, in this little community. Then we see what we can do it somewhere else. We're always looking baid, far away. And far away is imaginary. And far away is unknown except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what's close and near to us, we don't pay attention to. Our masajid that are supposed to be connected to Kitab with Sunnah and the Masjid al-Salih are in shambles for the most part, most of them. Illa man rahim Allah, except for Allah shall raise upon. Brothers that split and separated. Brothers who really don't have no difference between them. Understand this. This is vital to understand this point. They're not brothers who are Shia. So they have a long history of Shiism. They're not brothers who own the Tasawwuf. So they have a long history of Tasawwuf. They're not brothers who belong to Hizb al-Tahrir or to this Jama'ah or that Jama'ah. Most of them all came through the door of Kitab and Sunnah. Some know more than others and some don't. Some went and studied, some didn't. This is it. So what is the problem? Well, he's soft on this one and I'm hard on that one. He's like this and he's like that. What is it that's separating us? What is it that keeps confusion and splitting? What is it from stopping us from putting our hands together, all our hands, and holding our hands rather than beating each other's hands back and forth? What is it that stops us from establishing Islamic unity without an imam, without a sheikh, without anybody? Because you have the order of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and the order in the sunnah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't wait till imam or leader come out the blue somewhere. You think he's going to descend from the sky, some imam who's going to unify everybody? No, it starts here. To such a degree that the mashayikh say even those narrations about the Muslims and the Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam, before that there must be accomplishments of unity and rulership before that. Because it says he will be one of the rulers from amongst the rulers that were there previously. Khalifa min al-khulafa. That means he had predecessors, right? That means that there were those who were established before that. There has to be unity before any of that. There was unity. Was there not unity in Mecca before the Prophet ﷺ went to Medina? Was that some of the first words that the Prophet ﷺ entered Medina with was what? Say salam, have good kalam, it'am al-ta'am, feed others, tadkhulul jannah bis-salam, you enter Jannah with salam. First words he said in Medina, spread salam, spread the salam, say good words, feed others, you enter the Jannah. Sali wa nas niyam, pray when the people are asleep, you enter Jannah bis-salam, you enter Jannah in ease. Do we do any of that? Do we feed one another? Do we say good words? Do we do any of this? The Yahud were criticized and mentioned in a blameworthy fashion by Allah Ta'ala for taking some of the book and leaving others. Taking some of the book and leaving others. I fear that we have fallen into that. We take some of the message and leave others. And we all agree we're not scholars. So if we all agree we're not scholars, then how do we know which is more important than which? There was a time we didn't know our Lord. There was a time we didn't know what Iman was. There was a time that if we looked at the Quran, we didn't know how to say the word. We have to realize where we have come from and what our goal is, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala in this Jannah, and that is the most important issue. And you may have to give up some of your personal desires. You may have to give up some of what you like and what you love. You may have to give up half of the dunya, because as the Prophet ﷺ said, verily the commodity of Allah is expensive. The commodity of Allah is expensive. The commodity of Allah is expensive. The commodity of Allah is Jannah. It's expensive. It has some sacrifice. You just can't have ease. You think you're going to be safe that no one ever is going to backbite you? No one ever is going to lie on you? No one ever is going to give you a dirty face or mistreat you? What is your reaction in that regard? If your wife talks back to you, do you react like the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba, or do you react like you might have seen your father or his father react? That's a good example. That's your test. React in a Jahili fashion or Islamic fashion. And so these are important issues that we must simply be about understanding. Prophet ﷺ said in the rifqa, the gentleness, la yakun fi shay illa zana. It's not placed in safely except it beautifies it. Well, I use it in shay illa shana. It is not taken from something except it makes it ugly. And he said, fi shay. And in the Arabic, when this type of siyak is here, that is nakira, it's indefinite. It means anything. Rifq in anything
We're beautified.
We're beautified. You know you can correct a brother on something. You can say it real gentle. Akhi, barakallahu fik, can I speak to you here? Such and such and such. And this is not the Sunnah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you have done. This is like this. Or you can say, hey, Tawbah, a'udhu billahi ya sadiq ya akh. What did you do? Right? There is a great difference between the two. There's a great difference. You know the hadith of Mu'ayyad ibn Hakim, where he did not know that Prophet had forbidden speaking in the salah, or that Allah had forbidden speaking in the salah, right? And he came and he prayed, right? And somebody sneezed? Huh? Somebody sneezed. You can imagine if we was in this masjid, what would happen? Brother sneezes, salah. He said, Ya Hamakallah. So everybody looked at him horribly, like they wanted to do something to him. Shahada Jahil. Shahada Jahil. You don't know his salat. Prophet ﷺ didn't treat him like that. He pulled him aside. He said, verily, salat, you know, this is ibadah and so on and so forth. Explained to him that you're making munajat, discoursing with your Lord, and it doesn't, you know, doesn't involve any of this like that. He said, he showed me so much mercy. I have not seen somebody so kind, not a greater teacher, to the degree that he took something wide and expansive, which is the mercy of Allah, and he made it very, very, very narrow. He said, may Allah have mercy on you and I. You know, forget the rest of these guys. Rahmatullah upon you and me. Prophet said, you have made something wide, tight. But this was the gentleness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is that? A Bedouin comes up to Prophet and pulls him by his throat. Muslim said, man, my throat, what you doing? You know? Get your hands off me, you know? What was that thing? You say what you want, just don't put your hands on me, right? All that in Jahiliyyah. Like this, right? Until you say in the hadith that you can see the athar, the effect of it on his shoulder. That's a snatch, right? You can see the effect of it. He said, Muhammad, give me. Prophet is going to just smile. Give him something. Just smile. Who can have that type of patience? But this is the one that we are to follow, and not only are to, but wajibly tiba. It's obligatory upon us to follow him. That if that was his behavior, then that's my behavior. But that's not our reaction. So when are we going to inculcate this? When is this going to be in our mind when we talk about Salafiyya? When is this going to be in our mind? When is it going to be something that we talk about in the lectures? Or is every lecture got to be about Ahlul Bidah and the Hizbis and Jahwataj? Every lecture got to be about that? No doubt. As Sheikh Muqbil said, you should warn against them. Especially if you're in a place or situation where they're there and they're surrounding you, constantly mention them and so on and so forth. But in a situation where the people are also need the development in areas that you see that's lying in your community, there's no trust. You give a brother something, he returns it back to you and it's in worse shape than you gave it to him in. You say something to a brother in what we would call close to one another in secret, huh? Confidence. That's the word, confidence. And he spreads it all over the globe. It's on the internet before he write. No, don't tell him that. I won't. It's in whole dunya. It's in Sweden and China before you get to your car. This is reality. What happened to that? What happened to the fact that somebody sits and much less is amana, sitting with somebody as amana, and somebody sits with you and yells tough it, they look back like they don't want nobody else to know, then what they say to you is amana, is a trust. You're going to dare get up from there with subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Yeah, he told me such and such. What is this? The akhlaq. Morals, manners, and behavior. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَدًّا غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَأَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. And if you were hard and harsh of heart, they would have ran away from you. And this is what is happening with many. They run away. They run away from the Sunnah. They run away from the Athar. They run away from the Tawheed. They run away from the way of the Salaf Saleh. They run away from all that is good. Because the Prophet said, Minkum anafirun. Some of you run people away. Some of you run people away. People want the haq. They're fit to want the haq. They're like individuals on a desert who are thirsty and want something to quench their thirst. And you're standing in the way with your bad behavior and your bad morals and manners, and you're running them away. You're running them away. And it being issues that have nothing to do with deen. Look at the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. That time where he prayed, and the Bedouin Arab comes in from working all day, and Mu'adh opens up with Baqarah. So he said, you know, he says to himself, I'm not doing Baqarah today. I've been working all day. So he left the Salat. He left the Mu'adh, rather. He moved over. Actually, he was in the same Salat, because it's a thick point that it shows that you can, and sometimes, make taslim while the Imam is completing. So he made taslim and he left. So Mu'adh and then they start talking. Who's this Munafiq? Like that. Munafiq leaves Salat. Nobody leaves Salat but a Munafiq, right? Munafiq don't leave Salat. When he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam angry. Not at the Bedouin, but at him. And angry as if pomegranate, the redness is all over his face. And he said, Afatan ante ya Mu'adh? Are you a fitna maker, Mu'adh? Are you someone who put people to trial and test, O Mu'adh? Verily, you who lead the Salah, understand that there are people behind you who are old or sick or weak or the haja, in need of doing something. So, khaffif, make your life. And he did not in any way criticize the Bedouin. This is about Salah. We can be called people who make fitna about the most smallest of issues. About something that doesn't have any importance whatsoever. So these are something that must be understood. لَكَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. There has come to you a messenger from yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. Hard upon him is what harms you. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَوْفٌ عَلْهِمْ. He is concerned about you. And he is merciful and kind and gentle with the believers. فيه بيان ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is an explanation of what the Messenger of Allah was upon. من عظيم الخلق. From his good character. الذي شهر الله تعالى له به. That Allah witnessed for the fact that the Prophet had good character. And his شفقة. His gentleness. And his kindness. ورحمته. And him being لطيف with the people. وما أكثر مواقفه. How many مواقف you can mention? Circumstances that happened in the lifetime of Prophet ﷺ where you can see this. You can see it exemplified right before your eyes when you read it. Of his gentleness, of his good behavior. فيجب علينا, is obligatory upon us to follow the Prophet ﷺ in this. In rifq, in gentleness, in laying, and being kind and easy and soft, and to have the khuluq, the morals and manners of behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the people, ma'annas, wallahu aliyu tawfiq, and Allah has granted tawfiq. This is written by a Sheikh, Abu Abdurrahman Fawzi ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad al-Athari, in a book called Tufat al-Akhyar, A Gift to the Best, في تأليف قلوب الأبرار, and bring the hearts of the righteous together. It is a dirasa athariya almiya minhajiya, a study based upon the narrations and based upon the minhaj and the usul and the qawaid and the wabit of how you deal with one another when you differ with one another in particularly the fiqh al-Islami and other matters. This is something that I hope and pray that Allah Ta'ala will give us tawfiq to be able to act upon and implement. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وجزاكم الله خير.
No vision?
And then he's Abu Muhammad is saying that the one about the mercy is about the Baal of the Masjid, the one who urinated in the Masjid. No. And well, Muawiyah Hakim, ما حدث في هذا الحديث.
هذا حديث الجارية.
الجارية. Said it didn't happen in that one.
No.
Okay, he said it wasn't mentioned in that, the dua. Jazakallah khair. Why you brothers are always got to check somebody? No, I'm just joking. He did it in a way which is nice, which is ma'ruf, which is well. He's supported by his buddy here. No. Jazakallah khair. Allah barak fikum.